Blog Talk Radio.
When you pray, let it rain.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. We read this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And as we go there, we will see what Scripture says on this verse. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And the Word of God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." When God tells them to have no other gods, it does not mean that God recognized only any other deity besides himself. He knows there is no other God. He is alone in his position. His rank and his glory as God. God is not making room in the universe for other gods. He is simply declaring that he is God alone. You see, the word God, G-O-D, in other texts means ruler or judge or Lord. The true God knew, that's the true, capital G-O-D, knew that no other gods existed. That he also knew that anything that revealed a supreme love, adoration, worship, and service of the people would eventually become their Lord. It would, in essence, become their God. That happened. This is why he says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The phrase "before me" literally means over, against me, or before my face. In other words, God, capital G-O-D, wanted no other love, no other aliases, no other authority to come between himself and his redeemed people. Our gaze is to be on his face alone, and not on the face of other gods. God is a jealous God, and he will tolerate no other God in the lives of his people. And we read that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, where he mentioned, chapter 20, verse 5, that God is a jealous God. "Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hear and hate me, and showing mercy unto those thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Amen. And that's chapters, Exodus 20, chapter, verses 5 and 6. The reason God possesses the right to make such a demand on his people found in verse 2. He says, "I am the Lord thy God," capital G-O-D. In that statement, God declares his identity. The word Lord identifies him as sovereign, almighty, and supreme, and identifies him as a self-existing one. It reminds us that he is the one I am, and it declares him to be the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God of creation, revelation, and salvation. Because that he, who he is, no mere god of human origin should ever be allowed to substitute or supplement him in their own lives. There is no god ever devised by the wisdom of man that can do any of the things he can do. As we turn to Psalms chapter 115, verses 1-8, the Word of God lets us know that as we read, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for the mercy of thy truth's sake." Verse 2, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. The idols are silver and gold, and work of man's hands. Why? They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak by their throats. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them." And that's out of the book of Psalms, division 115, 1-8. As we turn to Isaiah 40, chapter 46, verse 5-7, the Word of God says, "To whom will ye liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, and we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship." Verse 7, "They bear him up upon the shoulder, and carry him, and set him in a place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove, yea, one shall cry unto him, Can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble?" Isaiah 46, 5-7. Now, when we go to journey towards Jeremiah chapter 10, 1-6, the Word of God reads as such. "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. And one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and work of thy hands of the workmen with an axe. Thy deck it with silver and with gold, thy fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might." Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now what we have is a situation where we recognize idol gods, which they're trying to bring together to worship. These gods have been made of gold and fine silver and so on, where it's been brought together and mounted. But the goldsmiths have put the gold, the gods that they began worshiping, in position where they cannot move. These gods have no power. These gods have no authority over anything more than our Heavenly Father does in heaven. The Lord God Almighty has all power in heaven, under the heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And there's no golden image that can take the place of him in Jesus' name. Let us continue. God has the right to make this demand of his people because of his identity as God. But he also possesses the right because of his investment in his people. He delivered them from Egypt and from their slavery in the land. In Exodus chapter verses 3 through 14, he purchased them to himself through the blood of the innocent Passover lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, owned them. He owned them. And he had the right to do as he pleased with them. He also delivered them from the influence of the false gods of Egypt. He took them in the name of Jesus. The same reason we stand today. God is the same God ever been. He is still the Lord thy God. He has the right to demand absolute obedience to his will and his word. Because he owns us, he purchased us to himself through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns us, and he possesses all rights to our lives. We're coming to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. And when we come back, we will come to conclusion of our discussion related to the Godhead, taking out the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. God bless you. We'll be back.
When I have a moment of desire, I'm gonna come from my heart. I know what I'm about to tell you. It's gonna hit you where you are. See, I was raised in the church, but I found a way to do my dirt. I was a preacher's son, and you won't believe the things I've done. But I said to myself, you gotta do better. You can't keep living this way. You gotta get it together. When I humbled myself and say, I knew God would listen. Today I can hear him say, my son, you are. Message. If you don't go through the mess, just humble yourself and pray and give up. confession, and you will hear him say, my child, you are.
Have your hands people.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm your host, Pastor David Shaw, a Monument of Hope and Deliverance, where hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. I'm truly honored once again to be before you live on this evening, thanking God in Jesus' name for allowing me to bring you an awesome message and understanding about the Godhead in Jesus' name. We have brought forth quite a bit of reading and studying on today. And what we spoke on came out of the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 3. Now, this is not going to be the last time we speak on this, because this is going to be a several series. It's going to be a series that's going to require a lot of study that we're going to bring forth before you. We're not going to bring a whole bunch at one time. We're going to bring bits and pieces as we go and stretch it out so we can have a clear, in-depth understanding of the Godhead. But as we were speaking, praise God, we were talking out of the book of 1 Corinthians, or actually out of the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 3, and these other supporting scriptures are associated with that, giving explanation to the Godhead. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, the Word of God lets us know clearly is that what? As we go there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's it in a nutshell. We don't belong to ourselves. We were bought with a price. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for the remission of our sins was the price that was paid for us to come forth boldly before the throne of, to have a newness in body, in life, and in spirit. So now no longer do we belong and are belonging to ourselves, but we belong to the Father, which is God, the Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So when we go to the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14, the Word of God says clearly that who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So it's in that where we recognize, praise God, that it's not about us any longer. Once we let go and let God, we render all unto him. Our being, our thoughts, our ideas, our mentality, and everything that's not of ourselves, it becomes born again, born again in Christ Jesus by way of his spirit be manifested on the inside of us. So it's here, praise God, that we recognize that he has also delivered us from the influence of false gods of this world. It's not about worshiping idols any longer. It's about an actual living person that died for us, and that person was in Jesus Christ. So when we go through scripture, as the word says in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 8, we read where it says that, how be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no God. What's that saying? Well, that's saying we worship and praise gods who are not alive. We gave our attention to things that were not tangible, other than the idol gods that were present before us in terms of the gold and the silver and such that were established at that time. We recognize, praise God, that we have abilities in Jesus' name to overcome these things by surrendering ourselves unto the Lord and realizing that it's not about us any longer, but about the Christ that is in us. One more quick thought here. When the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God, that phrase is in the second person singular. That statement speaks of God as being in a personal relationship with each and every one of his redeemed people. You see, he is the Lord thy God. If that is true, we must never allow anything to come before him and become a God in our lives. That's knowing who God really is. That's accepting God for who he is, the great I am that I am. With no explanation, no question, just believing he is who he said he is, without a shadow of a doubt. See, the whole point I have been trying to get for you today is that, see, when we maintain the spirit of his first commandment, we will not break the other nine, okay? We will not break the other nine. Once we get the first one in us, when we first have that commandment is the controlling force of our daily lives, our primary goal in life will be to glorify God with our whole life, not just a part of it, not a part of it, not a smidgen, but our whole life. Everything that we do, that means we won't walk the same, we won't talk the same, we won't act the same, we won't look the same. Everything will be different. We will no longer be conformed to this world, but yet we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Jesus Christ simplified the condensed this thought and made it even simpler to grasp. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37-40, says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. So this is something that's very positive and straightforward. We are to love, love, love. We are to obey the commandment that God has given us, to love him, to serve him, to worship him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And understandably speaking, we must be focused on loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Well, once we get these thoughts, these scriptures and these commandments in our lives and our focus on our everyday being, then the rest becomes easy in layman terms, if you will. This is the one key scripture that we must and commandment that we must have implanted on the inside of us is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. But when we love the Lord with all of our heart and being, there be no danger of our having any long other gods. There be no danger of us swaying off to the left or swaying off to the right. And even if you did do that, you know you can come back into the body of Christ in time, for Jesus Christ died for our sins. But we have a responsibility to serve him with all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And when we first, in our love of our life and our affections, the spirit of the law will be lived out in every thought and action of our lives. Israel failed to keep this commandment, and they went after other gods. As a result, they were chastened and judged by God every time. The same happened in our lives when we allow our loves to take his place in our hearts. We have to be mindful to continue to keep God first in all of what we do. It's happened in the past, and that which happened in the past happens today when we put things before God. So recognize today, in the name of Jesus, place God in your heart and love him and worship him and serve him and acknowledge him. And when you get this revelation of who God is as the Godhead, your life will never be the same again. We truly want to thank you for joining us here this evening. And be sure to join us live, speaking on the Godhead, when we speak on the next segment out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And the next thing we meet will be the 2nd of June. Please join us at 7. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.
All the worshipers in the house, lift your hands and repeat after me.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hold on.
The creator of heaven and earth.
The creator of heaven
yeah.
and earth.
There are no words that I can say to glorify the greatest name. We're never ashamed to
Well done.